7 meetings, has proposed some revisions to our ethics code, and we will take these matters in the order they are presented on singly, one at a time. If we could, sir, I would have, Joe, if you could give us a brief rundown of the proposed ordinance 2018-710 regarding the revisions to Chapter 602, Part 7. I'm sorry, Carla, would you take that one?
Sure. That's number one on new business, the ordinance on revisions to the gift laws. And you have the actual filed bill in front of you. And essentially, what we were trying to do with this one, Kirby and I called a meeting of all the departmental ethics officers in the city. And that included all the constitutional officers, the independent authorities, every department in the executive branch. And we talked about all of the glitches in the current ethics code on gifts and how hard some of the provisions are for employees to understand and some of the complaints that we've gotten in about it. And so we took it line by line and we discussed it. And then as a result of that, we went through and we took out obsolete provisions and provisions that were confusing, and we drafted a new way of looking at it, which is basically we kept in the provision that nothing can be accepted over $100 from any vendor or any lobbyist or person doing business with the city. Let me, I don't know if I've said this to the whole commission yet, but most cities in Florida, I'd say 95% of all cities in Florida, have no local gift regulations. They just rely upon the state. And the state only regulates elected officials and top positions like general counsel or chief operating officer. So every city, like if you went to Tampa, you'd say, well, where is your local code that you can't take over $100 from a vendor or lobbyist? Oh, we don't have that. You know, so unless you're one of the officials regulated by the state, sky's the limit. You can take $1,000 from a vendor or a lobbyist. So we're one of the few cities that have actually regulated all employees. And so we're keeping in that particular provision of take nothing over 100. But then we're going further and we're saying, okay, now for every department, we're going to analyze with OGC and ethics, what are the actual risks? What employees in your department interact with the public where we need to really take a look at what kind of gifts are coming in, and we will regulate based upon the risk in each department. So that's a new way, and I think we're going to get very tight, restrictive gift policies with the departments. Like procurement and planning have already gone to zero gifts. You know, forget the 100, we're going with zero. And so what we're going to do is going to try to go department by department and really kind of tailor-make a provision for them. So you'll see that on page 7 of the bill, department policies. And most of the other law is existing law, like gifts to the city. The honoraria, basically, that is already in state law. So having it all in our local law is duplicative and better to just rely upon the state law. So, I mean, that's basically cleaning it up so that we can actually take it out to the employees in plain English and have them understand it. And hopefully, department by department have even more restrictive policies than what we have now.
Excellent. Before we have any discussion, I would ask if there's any public comment on this specific proposed ordinance, which is revisions to Chapter 602, Part 7. Any public comment on this particular proposed ordinance?
Boris, can you keep track?
How much time?
I'm not sure that it's proposed. It's already filed with Legislative Services, so it has a bill number and everything. So
I think the question is whether we should take any action.
Okay.
Does anyone have any public comment? 3 minutes.
This guy with the African American Economic Recovery Think Tank.
information here that y'all about to vote on, that I'm understanding, this is some new information. Had this information been shown to the public and given us opportunity to address these changes? Because I'm not hearing that. I'm saying, correct me, because when I'm seeing right now, a few people making decisions for the whole city. And to me, that doesn't make sense. Which you got close to 1 million people. Is this information being put out and given the public, your public, the opportunity to address these changes that y'all making? That's my public comment for this moment.
Thank you. Any other public comment on proposed revisions to Chapter 602, Part 7, and our role in making a recommendation as to that proposed revision? Yes,
yeah. John Nooney, 8356 Bascom Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32216. I was hoping, that the minutes from the last legislative committee meeting would be here, prior to any action being taken, so that Ethics Commission, could review that. This is ethics, and when you're revising this, it's like you guys are like the Supreme Court, for the city of Jacksonville, and really kind of boil it down and think about it. And as far as, addressing that, this specific piece of legislation, and then, to comment on it, when you haven't, and for the benefit of the commission members who weren't at that legislative committee meeting, to know and to see, the votes that were taken, what I have here is from that legislative committee meeting, and then here are the minutes, and then here are the revisions, and here are all the votes. Okay? So, it's just the real problem I have going forward is, is hopefully that you get it right here, because other meetings that I go to, you would be appalled at the procedures that happen. So, as far as maybe addressing this, well, I'm just hoping that you would just defer action. And I think it would be, I would hope you would, because you're going to be asked to vote on something where you don't have all the information. Maybe you do. But as far as, and again, I've heard this, address the specific legislation 2018-710 and the revisions that are being asked. And that's what my public comment is supposed to be about. But if you don't have the minutes from that last legislative committee, I don't see how you could really, in good conscience, move forward and take action.
Right.
So thank you for listening.
Right.
Okay, any discussion?
Could we get a response to those types? I understand that you can respond to these pretty simply. Can we do that? Can we respond with two comments?
Up to the chair.
Certainly, if you have a response.
Okay. Hoping that the committee could do so. What's the issue with the minutes? And I think that the broader question was, allegedly, we've been having 7 meetings and the public hasn't been made aware of this. All of these meetings have been noticed, correct?
Yes.
Well, this legislation is not. That's confusing, the 401, 402, which are the next two topics. This is about an already introduced piece of legislation. 2018-710 has been introduced by the council president at the request of the ECHO office. This is not our legislation. This is just whether we are going to comment on a piece of legislation that's already been introduced in the City Council.
Okay.
So that's all that this particular legislation is about. The legislative committee, this was, I don't remember when this was introduced to you.
2 weeks ago, 2 weeks
yeah.
ago, and then you considered
it. So we considered it last week, and I think whenever the chair wants, I'll give a report of that discussion.
As to our next two.
Or to this one, whatever.
Sure. Well, I mean, there's been an inquiry made.
I think we can clarify the Supreme Court comment and that we're a group of volunteers who, you know, we make recommendations to the City Council.
Sure.
Is there anything else in those comments that we might try to clarify for the two folks who commented? Okay, I'm done.
Here.
Okay. Any other comments?
I'm not able to hear you speak.
So speak into the mic, Zach, as he said. You can't.
Okay. Hearing no other comments, do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. We have...
Excuse me, is there a resolution in support of that perhaps might reflect the...
Yeah, I do. I do have a resolution. I just passed the copy of it to the chair, which is this one. And so could I move that we reconsider that last vote?
Yes.
Need a second, I think.
I'll second that we consider that last vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Okay. So the legislative committee considered this at our last meeting, and I think our report is that had we been drafting this or were this our legislation, we may do little things differently, but the question to us was, do we support it? Are we going to tell the City Council that we support this legislation? I think that all of us, we voted 3-0 to recommend supporting this resolution. So I'll read the written resolution that I'm about to hand to the chair, and this my motion will be that we adopt this resolution. Whereas the Jacksonville Ethics Commission has a duty under Section 602.911 and 602.921 of the Jacksonville Ordinance Code and under Section 1.202D of the Charter of the City of Jacksonville to recommend changes in legislation to City Council in the areas of ethics laws and administration, conflicts of interest, hotline policies, ethics education, ethics and procurement, campaign ethics and lobbying. And whereas in connection with such duties, the Jacksonville Ethics Commission has reviewed and discussed proposed Ordinance 2018-710, introduced by the Council President at the request of the Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight, be resolved by the Jacksonville Ethics Commission as follows, that the Jacksonville Ethics Commission supports proposed Ordinance 2018-710 and its goal of simplifying and clarifying the gift laws in the City of Jacksonville, that this resolution shall become effective upon its approval by the Commission on this 5th day of November 2018. My motion is that we adopt that resolution.
I'll second your motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you, and you know, we're rolling out training for several thousand city employees in January, so this will clarify it. May not be perfect, and you may want to revisit it next year, tinker with it, add to it, or whatever, but thank you. This moves us along. Thank you.
Our next order of business are proposed revisions to Section 602.401. That's the misuse of position section. This is an area that I understand the Legislative Committee has been working very hard on proposed changes. And I'll again reference that this has been going on for the greater period of over a year. And many folks, both past and present on the Legislative Committee, have participated in these revisions. Do we have any comment as to some of the substance of the changes and
sure.
and kind of just a guiding light as to where we are on this proposed revision to 602.401?
Sure. On behalf of the committee, I'll give a report. At the conclusion, once the chair allows, I'll probably make a motion to adopt a single resolution for both of these proposed revisions. But I look back at the minutes, and the first meeting to discuss this issue was in April of 2017. And since then, we have had more than seven public meetings just in the Legislative Committee And then we have discussed the issues with the full commission at least a couple of times. And so this has been pending for a long time. We've been thinking about 401 and 402. Both those sections were specifically mentioned on the minutes of the April 2017 Legislative Committee. And we solicited input from a lot of groups. These changes evolved a lot over time. We received some very valuable feedback from ECHO, the General Counsel's Office, Ms. Pollack, as well as Mr. Gabriel, and I think Ms. Hodges all provided separate input on these. We adopted those. Mm-hmm. The Employee Services Department provided input. We adopted those. The Office of Inspector General reviewed numerous revisions of these. They made different revisions. Those revisions went back to the Office of General Counsel to review and see if they had any concerns. So that's what took this process so long and brought us here, I think, somewhat to the frustration of some of the members that this took quite as much time as it did. But here we are, and it is on 2-3-0 votes from the Legislative Committee to adopt these changes. In essence, Mr. Chairman, the changes to 401 broaden the restrictions on misuse of position. So there were some questions that have come up from the Complaints Committee about when and how those provisions apply based on some confusing language. So I think these changes make it more clear what it is that's prohibited and what isn't, and spell that out in a little more detail. Before, we had this coerce or threat language that we had to toy with basically in every case and figured out whether something was done by coercion or threat. And that's gone now, and the provision, the restrictions are broader. So that's the basic summary on 401. We've also added some titles at Ms. Miller's request for training purposes that I hope will make this much easier. So you could look at them: the misuse of position, misuse of confidential information, unethical lending, misuse of property, misuse of time. And so hopefully that'll make it easier for training. So that's 401. 402.
Let's do them individually.
Okay.
Excuse me. You know, just as a point of clarification with Cherry, I know we did 401 and 402 at different times, and so there's two proposed bills, but I really think since they follow each other that it should be presented to City Council as one bill, 401, 402. Don't you think that...
I drafted two separate bills, so if you wanted to combine them into one bill at some time, but it would be a different form, so it just... Okay, that's fine with me.
Just put them together,
sure.
Because a lot of times if it's going in sequence like that, you'll see, even like if you're jumping to all different areas of the Jacksonville Code, it'll be in one bill.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be easier to explain it to the council people if it's like 401, 402, one bill.
I don't disagree. I think that's a great idea. For purposes of public comment, though, I'm going to separate the two.
So it won't look like this. It'll just be now one bill with one bill number for all of those sections. So I'll be retracting that again. So just so you guys know what you're voting on.
When the time comes, I'll just a couple very minor non-substantive corrections to them.
Okay. So at this time, if there's any public comment regarding the proposed revisions to Section 602.401, that's the misuse of position section, we would entertain public comment.
John Ennie, my address is on file. I'll be honest with you, I really haven't had a chance just to really go through it thoroughly, but the proposed revision of Section 602.401, misuse of position. My thought is, why are we changing it? Misuse of position, I was just wondering if, have there been any other previous cases? Do you have, before you, just when was the last case of a misuse of a position? Just what it entailed? What was the adjudication for it? And anyway, again, I just sort of apologize because I don't really feel completely prepared for this, to really comment. But misuse of position, I just hope we're strengthening things, not weakening them. And we had J jail time, you know, in a lot of previous scenarios. And so, you know, I just hope that you don't take that away. Because, you know, that's the real, you know, fear of God that really, you know, today, you know, you'll be sitting up straighter in your chair and just, you know, really pay attention as opposed to a fine. Because, you know, a fine, you know, I just think of the, you know, the Jaguars, you know, $66,000 bar tab, you know, who picked that one up, you know, and, you know, so for a fine, you know, in this day and age of just unbelievable amounts of money, that's just, you don't even think about it. But to spend a day in jail, that will get the attention. So, you know, thank you for allowing public comment.
Thank you. Another public comment?
Sometimes I wonder how do people live with themselves. And then, the way I was brought up, being a spiritual person, I was always told by my parents that what goes around comes around. When you have leadership of this nature, you're not concerned about your kids' future. I don't get that. And I read this information. Talk about my accolades here, author. But in the Navy, I took off my whole command on 9 counts of discrimination at the age of 19 years old. I've been studying the law, reading almost everything. And I'm just appalled by this city here, because you have the political power. You just break the law and think there's no repercussion. But once again, as my mother used to say all the time, what goes around, come around. And this city will definitely pay the cost. And you begin to see it all over the city. Thank you.
Any other public comment on section 602.401, misuse of position proposed revisions?
We're on 402?
401.
Oh, okay.
Okay. No other public comment. Any discussion?
I would like to, in response to John, we can confirm that the idea is to clarify the language of this and strengthen it.
And I certainly concur. I've read the proposed revisions, and I think they accomplish just that. Any other?
That's certainly been my intent.
We'll move on to the proposed revisions to section 602.402. Those are the activities of city officials and employees and matters affecting the city. Mr. Rogan, if you have any succinct description of the proposed changes, at least substantively, so that we can invite public comment on these.
Sure. The Legislative Committee's proposed revisions to 602.402 at a large level were intended to add a distinction that was not currently in the code between volunteer board members and full-time officials and employees. And so full-time officials and employees are always prohibited from being from representations before or against the city. But the distinction we wanted to draw based on a couple of matters that came before the complaints committee was when you have volunteer board members, both advisory and non-advisory, who are engaged, especially lawyers, who are engaged in representations that are not adverse to their board or their agency, then to allow that to try to encourage more qualified board members to apply for those positions. The only other substantive change would be to, because we've strengthened some of the prohibitions as to officials and employees, we will now allow for petitions for exemption submitted to the Ethics Commission if they want an exemption from that prohibition, and we'll consider that as the chair deems fit.
All right. Thank you very much. Any public comment as to the proposed revisions to Section 602.402?
Conrad Markle, 1146 Romney Street, concerned taxpayers of Duval County. I've had this ongoing question. I've had some outside discussion with Ms. Miller about. I just want to know whether I'm reading this thing correctly or not. That in Part B, it delineates. It says that public officials, elected or appointed officials, are not to represent other than the proper discharge of his or her official duties. And where I've had the question ever since I saw this back in, I guess, July at the legislative subcommittee meeting, when they made it through 401 and then we ran out of time and after we didn't get to the back page where 402 was, I just had a question as to whether or not the discharge of official duties includes a council person representing a constituent with a problem against one of the sometimes dictatorial or overbearing bureaucratic minions of the executive branch is the best way I know to describe it. But municipal code enforcement in particular is famous for just totally disregarding any form of fair due process and the idea that anybody has rights in Duval County. I've heard them say all these things more than once, that this is all just something that's in their way. But I have had, on occasion, city council people take some of this stuff up, and they don't like getting involved in it. The attorneys in this town don't like to get involved in it. And I just want to know, one of the things that came out of the transparency an open government subcommittee study was Ms. McGill at the end of it. I heard her on First Coast Connect in particular emphasizing that one thing citizens should learn is they need to be able to rely upon their councilmen, their council persons, to represent them when they have problems with anything to do with city business. And I've had so many just grumbling and just total, not just disgruntling experiences, but just totally total letdowns as far as thinking that I was going to get something out of a council person under what is the assumed guidelines that have been in place. So the question is, does this proper discharge include or not include representing a citizen, since that would be representing a citizen against the city? Public comment.
Thank you. All right. Any discussion? Oh, I apologize. We do have another comment. Thank you.
Changes the think tank app with American Economic Recovery Think Tank. My address is on file. I'm going to piggyback on what he just talked about. Are you decreasing the power of the city council representative to show leadership in their community, is what I'm hearing? Because I think that's just very wicked. I'm confused here because I thought the city council person represented his district. And if he have to go up against the city, is his obligation to the city or to his constituents? And I also want to speak on that, because that's very important to me, especially my constituents, mostly on the north side, because they are not getting the proper representation. I see a lot of money being spent in this city, and most of it, a lot of money be spent, but not for everybody. And I'm just concerned about that question. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
John Henney, address is on file. Yeah, I just want to comment. Okay, proposed revisions to section 602.402, activities of city officials and employees and matters affecting the city. And the proposed revision to 602.402. Then we have the current law and revision of the ethics code, section 602.402, board members suing city. And, you know, with these different boards and commissions, you know, I just wonder how, you know, the transparency is addressed in those, and by that I'm talking about, you know, email. You know, there was a consideration at one point, well, maybe, or maybe not, but using someone's own private email address as opposed to a general email address for all board and commission members, that would then be in compliance with Sunshine. And I don't, you know, anyway, I just wanted to just bring that out. There may be some discussion. And then your petitions for exemption. You know, there's, we end up exempting everybody to a certain degree with different things. So, but anyway, that's really just it. I hope, too.
If I may make a comment, that in Section B, just to address that concern, otherwise than the proper discharge of his duties, a proper discharge of a city council member's duty is to go and harass the executive department as much as they can, and if we ever tried to stop that or eliminate that, they would howl and they would never pass this bill. So there is not going to be any interference of the city council people moving forward and doing what their job is to do, which is to be in there fighting for their constituents. As to Section C, I just wanted to, for those that aren't in the legislative subcommittee, to reiterate that C, on board and commission members that are volunteers and when they can appear in front of certain city boards, this provision comes from a State Ethics Commission opinion on Leslie Jean-Barre, who was appointed to the Ethics Commission. Her firm was suing the city, and that whole situation went up to the State Ethics Commission. Their opinion came down. That is reflected in C. So that's what the State Ethics Commission has opined. I think now we are closer to a more equitable way of treating volunteer members on boards.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other discussion?
You take it that John's concerned about email. There's transparency. People can do FOIA requests. There's really not an issue there, correct?
This proposal has no impact on it.
Right.
And there's no impact on, clearly, private emails are subject to public records. That is 100% clarified with General Counsel's office. There's no way out of that.
And I would just add that a tremendous amount of work and energy and time went into these changes, and I just commend the legislative subcommittee members for that hard work. I attended a handful of the meetings, and it was strenuous, and it was difficult work, and I just wanted to give my thanks for getting it done.
I'd like to add to that as well, and especially for Stanley, Conrad, and John. If you guys haven't noticed, the committee is not all made up of lawyers. Certainly, John, Ellen, and I are not, and we are as out to sea regarding what some of this stuff, the mechanics of it. But I know that the work that the commission does, the lawyers, is extraordinary. I mean, they spend a lot of time, a lot of work, tightening up language, trying to make things, less, tighten up loopholes, to make things more efficient and just improve the ethical environment in the city.
I'd like to add the exemption, and I share your concern if it's a rubber stamp on exemptions, but from here it looks like it would be a recommendation. It would go to the committee and it would be a meeting. So it would be, when you're talking about transparency, it looks like the transparency angle is covered as well.
It's a public meeting. Yep. Any meeting like that would be public.
Yep. It would be up to the chair, but my vision of this provision when I saw the draft, and I think might have come from OGC that did the initial draft of this, or maybe it was Echo. Sorry if I'm taking the credit from one of you that belonged to the other. But is that essentially the chair would just call a meeting of the Ethics Commission. Mm-hmm. There just has to be at least three people that come. But if all nine people can come in within 20 business days, you'll get nine people. Mm-hmm. And then in order to grant an exemption, the commission will have to find that the representation will not interfere with the full and faithful discharge of such person's official duties. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good standard.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Do you have a motion?
Sure. So I will move that we adopt a resolution I will read here, but first let me just go through and give a few really minor changes to the proposal that you have in front of you. You start with the proposed change to 401. In the introductory clause of that ordinance 2018-, and you see that block quote, mm-hmm. which is line 6 through 21 on page 1, mm-hmm. it's just, this reflected some sections that we ultimately decided to remove. Mm-hmm. And so on line 17, before to ban, would insert the word and. And then on line 18, you see use of computers. Computers all the way through activities on line 21. Everybody following that?
What page are you on?
Page 1 of the changes to 401.
Okay.
Page 1 changes to 401. So line 17, right before it's a band, would be inserted the word and. Mm-hmm. And then line 18, computers, through line 21, activities. That whole 3.5 line thing would be replaced with city resources for campaigning. There was a title thing. We decided to kind of redo how we address titles based on change to A and to what was F. So that's change one.
Mm-hmm.
Page 2, line 9 should be his or her public office, not just his or public office. There's a typo. It's page 2, line 9.
Mm-hmm.
Authority associated with his or her public office. Page 2, line 30, comma after the word officer. Page 2, line 30.
Mm-hmm.
Page 3, line 3. Page 3, line 3, the word city should be inserted after persons. And that's to clarify that both people in the lending relationship have to be in the city.
Okay.
after the word persons. So those are 401. Now if you'll turn to 402, please. Starting first with subsection C, which is on page 2, line 18. Page 2, line 18, the appointed should be replaced with that appointed, and that's to clarify that it has to be an appointed official who is not an elected official or employee.
Mm-hmm.
So the replaced with that on line 18 of page 2. And then on the last, on page 3, line 5, waiver will be spelled correctly. With those changes, I move that we adopt the following resolution. Bear with me while I read it. Whereas the Jacksonville Ethics Commission's duty under section 602.911 and 602.921 of the Jacksonville Ordinance Code and under section 1.202D of the Charter of the City of Jacksonville to recommend changes in legislation to City Council in the areas of ethics laws and administration, conflicts of interest, hotline policies, ethics education, ethics and procurement, campaign ethics and lobbying. And whereas in connection with such duties, Jacksonville Ethics Commission has reviewed the Jacksonville Ethics Code, section 602.401 and 602.402, in more than 7 duly noticed public meetings of its legislative committee. And whereas the Jacksonville Ethics Commission has received and implemented input from the Office of Ethics, Compliance, and Oversight, the Office of Inspector General, the Office of General Counsel, the Employee Services Department, and the public, be it resolved by the Jacksonville Ethics Commission as follows, that the Jacksonville Ethics Commission recommends the attached amendments to section 602.401 and 602.402 of the Jacksonville Ordinance Code per section 1.202D of the Charter of the City of Jacksonville, that the Jacksonville Ethics Commission hereby submits the attached legislation to the City Council per section 3.106 of the Jacksonville Ordinance Code, and that this resolution shall become effective upon its approval by the Jacksonville Ethics Commission on this 5th day of November 2018.
Do we have a second?
Yes, I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes. And I'll open up the meeting for general public comment that does not need to be specifically tailored to the three areas of discussion that we've had at this meeting. If there's any additional public comment, now is the time.
While they're coming up, Mr. Chairman, could I just ask our General Counsel Advisor a question there?
Yes, please.
Ms. Pollack, will you make those minor revisions and get that submitted for us?
Yes, I can do that.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
And thank you so much for all your help. I know you've worked with your colleagues.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. Yeah, thanks.
It wasn't always, and that's why I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right, John, your name, address is on file. Just general public comment. I participated in that Charter Revision Commission 10 years ago. And at the time, the Consolidated City of Jacksonville, 1968, I think it was maybe just 4 years later, the Code of Ethics was taken out. Right? Yeah. And so, we kind of got it back in. And in my opinion, it's, hate to say it, but I feel like it's just been kind of weakened. Recently, I participated in the Task Force on Open Government. And there's a piece of legislation, there's different pieces of legislation. Ordinance 2015-765. Yeah, it's Conrad Markle. I kind of call it the Conrad Markle Con. Basically, that was something that he worked his butt off for years, and it was to file an ethics complaint and to follow, I believe, state statute for 2 to 5 years. And it got unraveled at rules. Another one, public participation, 2017-160. And just maybe check that one. And I can't tell you the amount of time I've been over the course with different other topics, like threatened, intimidated, it is just gut-wrenching to go to a meeting and what I'm getting at was that you are the legislative committee. committee, you know, you have unbelievable power. And to be told or to have the chair of any board or commission determine whether or not you're going to be allowed to speak or not, you know, it is just not right. And I've had that. You know how I've been in meetings, you know, right here, you know, council committee meetings where people have shown up and then they've come out in the audience and say, you know what, we're not taking public comment on this, you know, and they would just get up and leave. And I'd say, I got dozens of examples. In fact, agenda meetings used to be upstairs on the fourth floor. And I would go to the agenda, and after the agenda, you know, the chair, I would raise my hand, and you know, the room was packed, and that's the other thing, there's nobody here. And I'd ask, you know, Mr. Chairman, will you allow public comment on a piece of legislation that is before the committee? Someone say yes, someone say no. And then you show up downstairs, and then they do a base. I mean, it's, you need the consistency. And we don't have it. We don't have it. And that's why I participated in the Task Force on Open Government. That's why I attended the Legislative Committee of the Ethics Commission. And I don't think it's that, or it shouldn't be. And so, anyway, I don't think that exists. And I think it's wrong.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Senator Scott with the African American Economic Recovery Think Tank. My address is on file. I agree with everything Mr. Nguyen just talked about. My concern in this city is very deep. My mentor, Mr. Edward Exum, when I first started following him around and learning about this city, you know, sometimes I used to listen to what he used to talk about the injustice in this city, especially with the African American community. You know, I have to say to him all the time, it's gonna change. Since that time, in the last 4 years, my eyes has been really open because I'm back here in Jacksonville full time now. My eyes been open to the corruption, the evil, starting with 2018, 420, when it comes to the history of African Americans in this city. It's been deferred money to marking historical sites, Jane Whalen Johnson, the money. It breaks my heart, especially when I know the history of this city. When it comes to African Americans, many that you need to used to kill them, kill my people right there on Duns Avenue, at that farm right there on Duns Avenue in 2005. And what we always ever wanted was justice. Now we still have the same problem with this city all these years later. And it's just disappointing because I've been living in this area since I was a baby. Our family, we're a prosperous family, and we've been committed to this community and this city a long time. I'm appalled by that. 2018, 420. When it comes to history of Jacksonville and the African American community, I don't have five members, four of my brothers, no, three of my brothers and me have served in the military. My nephew served in the military. We joined the military. He wasn't drafted. And all we wanted, along with all these other good people in this city, I'm talking about regardless of race, this one, fairness across. to fight for that, just like I did in the military.
Thank you.
For my people history.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. All right. Ms. Miller, do we have any other announcements?
We do not, other than my announcement thanking everybody coming here tonight and all my emails urging you to be here. I really appreciate it, because this is going to be able to wrap these up by the end of the calendar year, and we can do our training with all the employees. So I really appreciate, and especially those who suffered in the legislative subcommittee with so many meetings and so many hours. And my expression, which I've shared with a few of you today, is don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And the good thing about this is we can always keep working on the legislative subcommittee next year, and we can keep doing things and always striving for that perfection. It's a big job, so I appreciate everybody's efforts on that. Thank you.
Thank you. I certainly concur, as I've expressed previously in the meeting. Do we have any housekeeping or action items that are unaddressed?
No.
This meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.